You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus was moved whenever he saw people in need. Their plight touched his heart, and he reached out to help them. On one occasion, Jesus had just been informed of the beheading of John the Baptizer by Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee. Some of John's disciples came, carried away his body, and buried it. The first thing they did after that was to go and tell Jesus. John had played a great role in the mission of Jesus to the world. Despite his popularity, John was always modest about his own place in the picture. He was to prepare the way for the Messiah. And that's what he did. "He must increase," said John of Jesus, "and I must decrease." Turning to Jesus, he exclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now John was dead at the hands of a murderous king who was more interested in his political standing with the people of his court than he was in decency or even good sense. Matthew tells the touching story that followed when Jesus received the report of John's disciples. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. The people heard about it, and so they left their towns and followed him by land. Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed their sick. That evening his disciples came to him and said, "It's already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the villages to buy food for themselves." "They don't have to leave," answered Jesus. "You yourselves give them something to eat." "All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they replied. "Then bring them here to me," Jesus said. He ordered the people to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. The number of men who ate was about 5,000, not counting the women and children. It's quite a world we live in. You do not have to be a world traveler to notice that. It's a world overwhelmingly beautiful in the majesty and diversity of its creation, from the architectural splendors of the great cities to the lovely fields and valleys of the countryside, a world abundantly equipped with natural resources and also with wonders of science and technology still untapped, a world populated by humanity, endowed with incredible mental and artistic capacities, and yet a world which is torn apart with hatreds, envy, and stupidities that cause untold suffering. A world where an estimated 400 million people are seriously weakened or sometimes dying of outright hunger for something to eat. Sinful waste of Earth's resources leaves a part of the world oversupplied and a large portion underfed, ill-clothed, poorly housed, struggling with life-threatening malnutrition and disease. It's a world, for all its riches and beauty, held hostage by terrorists, victimized by tyrants, and ripe by greed. There are those, sometimes with an axe to grind, who blame overpopulation for the whole situation. Others point to ignorance and poor management of the soil in various parts of the world. Politics, which is supposed to solve every problem, has done very little with this one, except to make it worse. With all of our computerized technology, distribution of food certainly has not advanced very much since the Middle Ages. In addition, there's a widespread greed in every land, unwilling to face the need unless somebody can make a buck on it. As Matthew tells the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples showed commendable feeling for people who are hungry. With the kind of solution that's easily offered today, It's already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the villages to buy food for themselves. That sounds reasonable enough. But then Jesus was there, and that makes everything different. Jesus said to his disciples, "They don't have to leave. You yourselves give them something to eat." They came back with a plausible answer. "All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Then bring them here to me," Jesus said. Jesus did not act as he did to make himself the king of bread. He said of himself in the Gospel of John, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats that bread will not die. The bread that God gives is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life. And I will raise them to life on the last day." The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about the bread that perishes. He satisfies the hungry and the thirsty with the good news of forgiveness and life. That's why he came, why he died, and why he was raised from the dead, to give life to people in the power of God who raised his suffering servant to life again and gave him a name above every name. Now we see the bread of life in action. He takes care of the ordinary needs of people because they are in need. He doesn't need any other reason. Wherever his people have been through the ages, they have felt the same compulsion. Because they believe in Jesus Christ, they act as he did. Instead of standing around and asking, "Why is there so much hunger and starvation in the world?" they go into action compelled by the Spirit of Christ himself. A large part of the world stands around with indifference to the needs of people who are suffering and dying for the want of ordinary everyday bread. It's not their problem, and they need not be concerned. Followers of Christ cannot be so indifferent and so unconcerned. 1/10 of all the children in some nations are dying before their 5th birthday, many of them from hunger-related diseases. More than 100,000 children a year go blind because their diet lacks an adequate supply of vitamin A. Could anyone believe that Jesus would stand around at a time like that, simply wringing his hands? There is enough food to go around. God has seen to that. In the midst of plenty, people stand around wringing their hands, or worse. In May of this year, Time magazine reported, "Under ordinary circumstances, a missing check might attract little notice, but the aggrieved party was Mother Teresa, the gentle Nobel Peace Laureate, and the money involved was a donation to support her work with children in Calcutta's slums. Indian police soon homed in on the mail sorting office of Calcutta Airport. There they found a ring systematically filching check-stuffed envelopes addressed to the nun and sending them to accomplices in Hong Kong and Singapore to be cashed or stashed in bank accounts. To date, police have traced $150,000 in stolen funds and arrested 6 people, but the investigation is far from complete. It's a terrible thing," said Mother Teresa. "Many of the donors are small children who saved money and sent it to feed hungry children." By and large, most of the drive to feed the hungry throughout the world has come from people who have the love of Christ in their hearts. They know him pretty well. He does not hold still for the indifference that simply shrugs off the needs of the hungry, whether it's for bread to keep people alive on this earth or for the bread of life who makes people alive forever. It was not much comfort to hear the disciples of Jesus telling him, "Let them buy bread in the villages. It's their problem, not ours. It's their stupidity, not ours. It's impossible with our meager means to make any dent in the problem." Looking at those disciples, which is the way they wanted us to look, we see ourselves in a mirror. We tend to take God's generosity and abundance for granted. God doesn't want anyone to feel guilty for having so much more than others. He does expect us, however, to share and to be grateful. A lot of people don't even give God thanks for the ordinary food they have on their table. They eat like cows or cats, never recognizing the giver of all good gifts. It would probably not be an exaggeration to say that the present generation of people living on the face of the earth are also the most wasteful people who have ever lived in the history of the world. Whole nations could live on the leftovers of other nations. The key word that makes a description of this incident where 5,000 people were fed, not counting the women and children, is the word pity. Jesus had compassion on people in need. One of the languages into which the Bible has been translated puts it this way: he cried in his insides. The fact of the matter is that Jesus crawled into our very own skins. He became one of us, one with us, and indeed one for us. He even died for us and was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father because he cared for us. Jesus cared enough to act, and act he did. As St. Mark tells us, Jesus saw that the people who followed him were like sheep without a shepherd. Then Mark added, Jesus taught them many things. Now he's teaching us something. Few of us can say, as the disciples did, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Lord, it can't be done. The principle of responsibility may be all right, but you forget, Lord, that there is no way it will work. Send them away. Jesus is not only the bread of life, he is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He died for them. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was talking about himself when he said that. He was also talking to us, teaching us many things. First, he fed the spiritual hunger of people, and then he went after the physical hunger. The disciples of Jesus left 2 things out of their thinking about this emergency: their own resources and the power of God. Jesus said to them, in effect, never mind the impossible, mind what is possible. What resources do you have? Look and see. Overlooked resources are a tragic hindrance to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Christ's people are always confronted with the need of having to put to work their words about love and concern for other people. How often we have not said with straight faces, Lord, we have nothing, when as a matter of fact, every one of us has been on the receiving end of God's issue of more than manna given every day for just that day. Most of you have loaves, many loaves. Like the Apostle Paul, you may not have an impressive presence or the graces of public speech. You may have physical ailments, and the people all around you criticize you for being even bothered about problems that are not your own. But you have loaves. The best grain comes from the seed of the Word of God. It takes real grain and good guts to be a follower of Christ in the world today. Churches may not have a great many nickels in their treasury, but they should have something more: the resources of God. Taking God at his word with faith in their hearts toward the Lord Jesus, churches can summon their resources, however meager, to find out again for themselves that Jesus multiplies loaves over and over again. People need to be fed spiritually. They need to know the Lord Christ as their Savior. In their very bones, followers of Christ know that they need to share their faith with the spiritually starving. People may say, we can't do it. And they'd be right, they can't. Not under their own power. The power of Christ is something else again. An honorable follower of Christ once said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If that's true in bringing the gospel of Christ to the world, it's also true that gospel people need to give a practical witness, move to compassion as the Lord was moved to compassion upon the multitudes. People of every description in churches throughout the world provide channels today to give help where help is needed, to feed the hungry the bread of life and also the bread to help sustain human existence above the starvation level. If you're moved to give for the hungry, do it through your church. Double your contribution for the hungry. They need it. If you're not a follower of Christ or not a regular member of a church in your community, give it to the church anyway. You may very well discover the bread of life while you're bringing bread to the hungry. There might be people in your own community who need help right away. The pastor of the congregation can direct you to them, or he can transmit your gift to them. Pastors are meant to be shepherds, showing compassion for the multitudes, something like the pity the Lord himself felt for those hungry people that day, 5,000 of them, not counting the women and children. Matthew ended his story about what happened that day with a satisfied smile, which said, "Everyone ate and had enough." Just one more thing. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. That little sentence is a comment on the majesty of God, present in the world even now in the living Christ, showing compassion and reaching out to each and every one, offering forgiveness and new life that makes people like us do what we would otherwise not do. Gratefully moved by the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to reach out and touch graciously the needs of our fellow human beings, the hungry of the world, with no thought of reward except the satisfaction of having done for once, even a little bit, the will of the Lord who gave himself for us all. Amen.